And one of the questions was, what year was the world able to insert a quarter to play Super Mario Brothers? So at first I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. So everybody was quiet because apparently, and there was choices. It was a multiple choice question. And I yell out, in Japan or America? And she says, what's it matter? At this point, I'm furious.
Oh, and I bet.
Samantha looks at me like, oh, shit. Like, this isn't going to be good. And my response was, 2 years. That's what it matters.
Welcome to episode 95 of One More Podcast, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I tend to enjoy the occasional ceiling fan, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I am back, baby!
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I sure could go for some pancakes.
With maple syrup.
Of course.
And bacon. Good.
Maybe. Some bacon on the side.
And sausages.
Yeah. Maybe some scrambled eggs.
Wait, if you're going to... Why would
and
you put that
microwaved
stuff on
the side? Cucumber?
Yes. I had a cucumber for lunch today.
Some scotch tape, maybe?
Yes, I'd like some scotch tape.
I don't know.
Of a Nintendo cartridge and a mug?
Yes. That's what I
think
I want.
This is getting out of hand.
It is.
I think we have overstretched our boundaries for this breakfast of Jason's. I think we went too far. We should have kept it simple.
No.
The man just wants pancakes.
I just want pancakes.
There you go.
Just wants pancakes. Let's not do a podcast. Let's just go eat pancakes.
All right.
I mean, I am in no condition to host tonight. I realized... In my intro, I've done it so much, I just kind of slur parts of it. Like, nobody really knows I'm the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com. I'm just kind of the editor-in-chief. It just all comes out in, like, 2 syllables, you know?
Yeah.
So, I shouldn't be here. Let's just...
Let's go eat pancakes.
Yeah, let's go eat pancakes.
Listeners. We're taking the week off.
Yeah.
Gonna eat some...
The other fun thing we could do, maybe, is play old video games. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I happen to like old video games a lot. How about you? Any experience with those this week?
I played a bunch. In fact...
A bunch?
I don't believe any of this. Every time.
What is
not a bunch.
What is your name?
Hans.
What have you done with Jason?
He's dead.
Again?
We all killed him.
That guy. He's so sneaky.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But anyways,
so
I played
a trio. Let's hear it.
A trio. Well, like last week, I played some more Duke Caribbean, Life's a Beach. It continues to be a pleasant experience.
Just stop, man.
It's awesome. It's fantastic.
It's so...
Good God.
I'm laughing because it's so rare that we play the same game for, heaven forbid, 2 weeks in a row. And of all the games to play, 2 weeks in a row.
Tell you, man. Duke Nukem. Life's a Beach.
You mean Duke Caribbean.
Yeah, sorry. Caribbean. Yeah. Life's a Beach.
Well, I guess you can't really get the idea of the game just a one-time, one-week playthrough. You've got a month or two.
It's Duke Nukem,
for gosh sakes. I mean, come on.
So much depth.
Mind-boggling.
I know. And then I played some Metroid Prime.
Hello.
Which was good until it crashed. That's what I get for playing on an emulator. But I'm just
naughty,
saying,
filthy, dirty.
It's whatever. Like, I forgot the control scheme was so wonky.
There's no
strafing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the traditional two-stick setup. It's like,
even though they had two sticks on the GameCube, I when I first played Metroid Prime, it was really hard to bite my tongue and not launch into an internet tirade. Like, are all the Metroid Primes like this? Like, why do people like this series? Why do people think this is good? I could not get you. I've gotten barely into the game at all.
Yeah, it's very...
I thought, yeah, here I am playing this classic, and why is this even acceptable?
Yeah, it's a really bizarre control scheme.
GoldenEye has a better control scheme. Maybe that's blasphemous. Maybe I'm about to be crucified or something.
No. Yeah, say that.
Well, I think they thought that the targeting was so cool on Ocarina of Time that we got to do it in every game. Every game needs some sort of targeting. It's like, this is the worst fighting mechanic I've ever seen. Like, why is everybody okay with this?
Yeah, I really am among friends right now. I feel so warm and furry. Fuzzy, I mean. Warm and fuzzy. Not warm and furry. I mean, a little bit, maybe.
I mean, we're all a little furry.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. I have a little bit too much belly hair. It gets caught in my belt buckle, rips out, and it hurts.
My favorite is like when I wear like a white Hanes undershirt that's just a bit too small, but it's an undershirt, so you know nobody's gonna see it. And then like at the end of the work day, I'll take the shirt off and like little chest hairs are poking through.
Yes.
Like, how is this even feasible? Like, how do the threads separate just enough to let my chest hair go through?
I do that with dress socks. Like, if they come up far enough, you get like the little pew pew, like the ankle hair pew, pew, popping
it's
out.
It's pretty bad.
Ah, body hair. We're talking about body hair.
Speaking of body hair, I also played some Unreal Tournament.
Like the original?
The original.
What?
Huh.
Why?
Apparently the same people who are playing in 1999 are still playing.
No.
They're good.
I imagine after 15 years.
Yeah. I did manage to wander into... there's a lot of custom maps on servers. And I did wander into one called Cola Wars.
Oh, no.
Where it's Capture the Flag, and one side is completely themed with Pepsi logos, and one side is completely themed with Coca-Cola logos, which I thought was hilarious.
Is there a third Chaos player who's Dr. Pepper?
I wish. I should have changed my name to Dr. Pepper and started playing.
You could have played on both teams.
I could have.
That's weird.
Yeah, so that's what I did. Those are the games I played.
Cool. Hunter?
I was on vacation.
Oh.
So I played a lot of video games.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Any good
ones?
Like,
the beach was nice, but you know, video games. Played a lot of Super Bomberman.
Ooh, that was after my own heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Played a lot of Family Feud, which was as always a crowd pleaser. So that was a lot of fun. So everybody got to play into that. So Bomberman, Family Feud, and apparently nobody gets up as early as I do on vacation. It's like my normal wake up time is around 6:30, like just regularly. So when I'm on vacation, like 7, sleeping in for me. So I took the adequate 3 hours before anybody got up to play some Link to the Past.
Nice.
So I mean, yeah, like I brought books with me and I brought my laptop because I was like, oh, this is a perfect opportunity to maybe just write stuff and be in that element. And no, I played Link to the Past. So I normally play through it like once a year. So this kind of got me started. I'm on like the 6th crystal thing in the golden land. So it's still amazing. Still my favorite game of all time.
Good to know. Fun fact, trivia tidbit there.
Yeah, so whenever we get that trivia board game together, you know, what's Hunter's number one favorite game of all time? you know,
yeah.
Link to the Past, Mega Man 2, Clue Land. People are going to know.
And then just put a Sega game in there.
Right. Maybe. It's a Streets of Rage.
Yeah, we'll call it One Board Castle.
Wow, that's actually pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know.
No.
It doesn't roll off the tongue very easily. Try saying it.
One Board Castle.
Oh, you do sound a lot better saying it. Okay, I'm on.
All right, so now we're going to make it into a DVD game that is live and interactive.
What are we going to call that one?
The interactive one more. Ah, shit. One board game. Ah, damn it. What's it called again? One board castle?
Yes.
Screw it. Anywho. There you go. That's how we take care of things.
Nice.
I've got a surprise for you, Hunter. While you were away, Bailey revealed he didn't actually play any old games. And then talked about a phone game for a bit.
That's cool.
I played a lot of Mario Kart 8 too. But...
Nice.
Oh, I'm jealous. This is my jealous
face. Yeah, it's okay.
Face.
That's your jealous face. Huh.
What?
It's just okay. Can't you Mario make Kart? Movies and stuff?
Like, that's it's cool. Mario Kart.
Yeah, but you can make movies.
I mean, do you like want to get into it or?
Yeah, I do actually. I want to hear.
Okay. I don't know. Like, Super Mario Kart was the first game that I played of Mario Kart, obviously. Mario Kart 64 Double Dash is my favorite.
Mario Kart 64 DS Double Dash is your favorite?
No, just Double Dash.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Just Double Dash. I liked how with Double Dash it was more of a competitive racer rather than look at all the cool items I got.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Kart Wii... was a little one-sided. Like, they introduced the bikes, and they were just way too overpowered of a vehicle. So Mario Kart 8 went out to correct that, and they did a great job. I'm still overwhelmed by all the customization, because, like, you can customize the character, the cart, the wheels, your glider that you strap onto the back of the cart. Like, I don't
know. Sounds amazing to me.
It does. And then you play the game, and you realize that Nintendo has yet to give up the need for a catch-up mechanic.
Ah! That old culprit.
And it is seriously evident in Mario Kart 8. Like, I can understand, just from a gaming perspective, like, if I was a developer creating a game that was a competitive racer, let's just make it very generic, a competitive racer, and I've put in milestones into the game of, okay, let's say the player has been in number one spot for 45 seconds. We need to do something to challenge this player. So you got your blue shells and you've got environmental disasters that you have to avoid. Your Yikes. Common obstacles to dash away from. But the problem is that the game doesn't let you go. Like, if I retain my number one spot for, let's say, a minute, the game still doesn't let up. Like, if you get hit with a red shell, all of those racers are on your ass. You can go from first to fifth by taking a bad turn into the dirt or, you know, not taking the skyway to hit a boost. You know, like, you don't... I mean, I can remember back, especially in, you know, Super Mario Kart, Mario Kart 64, and sometimes even in Double Dash, you can lap racers.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
There are no lapping in this game, no matter how well you play.
Lame.
It's, yeah. Like, and they've done a lot of great things. Like, they've got a couple of courses that aren't actually lapped courses. They are one continuous straight race, and then they just kind of break it up in the third, so you still cross where it would have lapped, and it doesn't go in a circle. It's a really cool idea. You know, it makes something that's really hard to master, but man, that catch-up mechanic is just, like, me and my buddy were playing it, and we were like, okay, we need X amount of points to get a star, And that's all you need is a star out of three to unlock certain things in the game. And we would be, he'd be in first, I'd be in second every single race until the fourth race. And if he gets lower than third, you don't get enough points to get a star. Like, that, cool. It's ridiculous. It gets too much. Like, there's the changes that they made are good, but man, that, as a somebody who wants to be competitive and to complete the game,
yeah,
it's that catch-up mechanic just makes it so much worse.
Well, it sounds strange. It sounds like a Nintendo game where you have to be super hardcore into it. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Like, and that's fine. Like, if they're going for Nintendo hard, that's great. I'm fine with that. But the problem is you can't, you have to ease people back into it. Like, you can't just go,
I hear that,
you know, Nintendo hard, then it's a little easier than hand-holding, then, you know what, we're just going to carry you through this game because clearly you're too big of an idiot to figure out things. Oh, no, go this way. No, go this way. No, touch this. Open this. Welcome to Nintendo. And then go back to Nintendo hard. Like, come on. Like, that's gonna make the game look even worse. Like, I understand, like, it got all these crazy Metacritic scores and all that bullshit, and that's fine. It's a great game. But from somebody who wants to play the game and enjoy it and be competitive in it, it's next to impossible.
It's a great game, except for the players.
Man, it's just so bad.
Man, this is funny. Like, I was dogging all over Metroid Prime, and here you are, like, making fun of Mario Kart 8. We're probably alienating most people. It's unpopular opinion night here on the One More Podcast.
That's sweet. Cool. That's what every happens. Night with me.
God, we're turning into Jason Lambs.
Oh, sick. Next, we'll be playing Mega Man 2 without the music.
Yeah. I would never do that. That's just madness. Genesis. Duh. Genesis. Duh. Genesis.
Duh. Genesis. Duh. Genesis. Duh. Nintendo. Well, speaking of unpopular and asinine, we have a listener email discussion question. Goes like this. Hello, you fine gentlemen. You have done almost 100 podcasts now, and at this point you seem to know each other pretty well. What I think would be interesting would be for you all to swap places and think about each other's preferences. Bailey, why does Hunter adore Sega? Hunter, why does Jason cling to his PC? Jason, why is Bailey the Nintendo legend? Please answer this question as the other host, i.e., I like Sega because. We listen to the podcast for you gents as much as we do for the video games, so I think this will be a fun discussion. Joe Walker, he's the backlog video series guy. Excellent, and he's one of the preeminent retro gaming figures on the internet, or at least I think he should be. You can find him on Twitter at Space Kappa, SpaceKappa. So, which of you wants to go first in terms of answering for the other person?
Well, I think I'm supposed to do Jason, aren't I?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm supposed to go
first. You don't
sound
too excited,
Bailey,
Jason.
Why does Hunter, why does Jason cling to his PC?
So as a child, Jason had broken his hands.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. You're supposed to answer as the person, so I should ask that way, I guess. Joe made this really confusing.
Oh, okay.
Jason! Hunter. Jason, why do you cling to the PC?
Well, as a child, I... No, it doesn't sound like you at all.
No. I'm British.
apparently. That's just the first thing I went to.
Oh, yes.
Was British.
As a child, my parents refused to let me handle controllers in the thought set that I'd be handling my own junk as a small child. This was a sin in Canada. Oh, Canada. Our women look like men.
Yeah.
So pretty much
I think that's
it.
Why.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to this next one. Jason, this is you.
This is for me.
Bailey, why are you the Nintendo legend?
Oh, well, as a kid, I all the cool kids had Nintendos, and I just really wanted to, just wanted to be a cool kid. So one day I traded my baby sister for a Nintendo, and that was that.
Wow.
Spot on.
It's pretty good, not gonna lie.
One of you asked me, aka Hunter, why I'm a huge Sega fan.
Hunter, why are you a huge Sega fan?
Well, that's actually kind of a misconception. I grew up playing a lot of Nintendo, but, that's kiddie stuff. I need something more rough around the edges, so I'm a Sega guy through and through. You know, just make better games, and unlike that Mario Kart crap, I want to speech of rage.
Wow, that's true. That's dead on. That's exactly why.
Yeah, I think we all did a great job.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Pretty
okay.
Good. Wow, I feel weird now.
Yeah,
that was.
Thanks, Joe, for that.
Yeah, thanks.
That was a unique, creative question.
So, speaking of Joe, so there's like probably three or four like YouTube series that I watch practically every day because there's new episodes every day. Apparently, that's the thing. You know, post multiple times a day. Blah blah blah. Anyway, oh, yeah. It's only like 30 minutes out of my day, so it's not that big a deal.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, like if I'm off, I stay on the YouTube channel and I start looking through other things to watch. And every once in a while, I'll go back and watch older episodes of the shows that I watch. One of those being The Backlog with Joe Walker. And I don't know which one it was. Oh, it was, I just picked the game up. It was like Kid Nicky or something, the Radical Ninja or... He does the show from his couch where normally he's like at his computer, at his desk. Like that's what I'm used to, kind of like the top looking down angled. But this was like head on the couch and I'm sitting there and I'm watching this and I'm like, I don't know if it's just me or because he's so used to doing it from like the top down angle. Like I was like, this just looks terrible. Like I would not recommend this episode to people looking to watch new, like, and I think it was just because it was like just that weird, like he just looks uncomfortable.
That's
you know,
awesome.
Like he's trying to be funny with like the bandana and stuff, but he kind of just
oh
sits there,
yeah.
Like I'm waiting for him to put his hand in his pants, you know, and just like relax. And,
but he won't fully commit to it.
Yeah. So it's really weird. So Joe, keep up what you're doing now. Not what you were doing before. And that, my friend, is free advice from somebody who watches your show.
Nice.
Let's take a music break. We're back. That was The Shinobi by Mecha Fatnik, a longtime friend of ours on the podcast. We haven't featured him in a while. So, yeah, that was a quick, grooving little Shinobi 3 cover. Good to hear from you, Mecha Fatnik. Speaking of Mecha Fatnik, It's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who doesn't know, this is a part of the show where each of us has secretly chosen an old video game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce our choice, usually fitting a theme, and then we're just going to spend the rest of the episode arguing about who picked the best game, or at least the game that best fits the category. You'll see what I mean tonight. 2 weeks ago, we had one, but I should mention first, the best part of this, listeners, you know, audience, you get to vote for your favorite of the three in a poll on the podcast episode page on onemorecastle.com. Don't forget to do that. You know, vote or die. You've heard that before, right? You should vote.
Wow.
I know. I'm amped up about this. I'm so jazzed.
I'm going to guess you lost then. Is that why?
Well, here's what happened. Here's what happened. 2 weeks ago, episode 93, we had a special guest free-for-all for the theme because Joshua Caleb was here. And he won with Geist.
What?
It gets worse. Not only did he win with Geist on the GameCube, he beat out Slalom and Larn. Two things. One, this is the second time in a row where my game only got one vote.
No, it didn't.
It did. Only got one vote.
Was it so, you?
Yeah. No. Well, I know this week it wasn't. Actually, it was for Geist. I'm kind of dirty. But the point is, it's kind of funny. Yeah, haha. Bailey's game gets one vote. I'd almost rather get zero, you know? It's just kind of, I don't know. But also, on a less than spectacular note, we had the lowest vote total we've had in a long time. So I don't know what kind of timing inconvenience or what the heck happened, but there was just not many votes. So just a reminder to everybody, vote on onemorecastle.com on the podcast episode page, because otherwise, I mean, what are we doing the showdown for nothing? No way, we're doing it for you. Doing it for you. Doing it.
I'm doing it for me.
Oh yeah, we're doing it for Hunter. We're doing it for Hunter.
Yay!
So there you have
Thanks,
it,
guys.
Joshua won. Geist.
Whoopity doo.
I got one vote. I thought my game was cool, whatever.
Man.
So this week we have a cool theme, though. It's yeah, whatever. It's a pretty good theme. We have bad game from a great franchise. So assuming we all followed the rules, or at least the theme, we all picked one of the worst games from an otherwise really good series. So I'm looking forward to this one. Because I wonder who picked the worst game. I'm curious. So, Jason, if you have a minute on the clock, I think I'm ready.
All right. You you may begin.
Well, my game came out in the year 2000. It was a magical time. But even the magic of Y2K could not save my game from its own horridness. Do you guys ever play a game and you feel like, huh, this is kind of like Bush League. This is amateur. This is like student project. Like, it's a very generic, but then some major publisher reskinned it with a popular franchise just to try and sell copies. Yeah, I feel like this happened because Midway put out this little gem, that's a use of sarcasm there, called Mortal Kombat Special Forces. It's an overhead beat-em-up. Already, that's horrible. You play as Jax. It's really bad. It's one of those games where every time you miss a punch, it makes a high-pitched whoosh noise. Annoying. It's half the game is
you're out of time.
Communication.
Those are pretty bad intro to a great series of intros.
Yeah.
It's an appropriately bad intro. Thank you. Very befitting.
Yes.
You may begin.
The easiest way to ruin any great franchise in video games is to take a beloved series and hand it off to a different developer. Much in the case of my pick this week, Contra, Legacy of War. for the original PlayStation. Forced to go into the third dimension, Appaloosa Interactive got the reins of the ever-impressive franchise and continued to flush it down the toilet like many of the 2D games working their way into the next generation. Not only is the gameplay bad, it's confusing as to who you're firing at, who you're supposed to fire at, and which weapons you're allowed to use. It's a poor excuse that crashed an amazing series. It's Contra, Legacy of War.
Oh, nice. It came in 15 seconds early.
Legacy of War, Contra.
Yeah.
I'll probably say it four more times.
All right, I guess I'll...
Contra, Legacy of War.
Legacy of War.
All right. Nintendo. They have a habit of taking things that people love and cherish and just putting a fresh coat of crap on it.
So, Nintendo.
When you have a beloved franchise like Star Fox, you think, wow, we've really nailed it. We've really figured out what the players want. They really want to control an R-Wing and take Fox and his crew through a series of space adventures. But in the year of 2002, Nintendo, teaming up with Rare, decided to release something called Star Fox Adventures, which was definitely not a Star Fox game. In fact, you just were Fox with a magic stick, and you wandered around a planet, and it killed Rare and pretty much killed the Star Fox franchise. That's Star Fox Adventures for the Nintendo GameCube.
Oh, wow.
So, Jason, I gotta ask you a question.
Yeah.
Did you do exactly what I did, which was go to Google and type in awful games for great franchises?
You guys suck.
Because that was like number one on a bunch of those top 10 lists.
I was about to say, Jason went straight for the infamous tonight. Straight for the jugular.
You know what? Wow. I was originally going to bring Bubsy 3D.
Yeah, because Bubsy was a great franchise.
That's a classic series.
Then I did some reading, and apparently they were all crap.
Yeah.
So
I think you can pick up that intellectual property for pennies on the dollar now.
Oh, yeah.
So, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Good old Star Fox. Man, see, I liked Star Fox Adventures. I thought it was fun.
Dude, yeah, not only a Star Fox game.
They took Dinosaur Planet, which was in development for the N64.
That's the interesting thing. The original concept, which actually pretty cool, is going to be like an actual female hero, an interesting story.
Yeah, but Miyamoto came in and said, nobody's going to buy this because nobody knows who these characters are. Let's put Star Fox on it, which from a business standpoint
does make sense. But I'm with Jason that it's not a Star Fox game. I'm with Hunter that it's not as bad as people say. It's like Jet Force Gemini, very light.
See, that's what I was wondering. Like, if it would have been Dinosaur Planet, or what was it? Dinosaur Planet? Dinosaur World? Dinosaur? What dinosaurs?
Turok Planet.
Would we consider it a gem? Because it's not a self-sustaining IP?
That's a great question. Maybe. I just got, like, a little...
But...
Go ahead. Sorry.
It's not like they did with the franchise what the developers, I forgot the developer's name, of the Metroid Prime series did. Developers
Retro.
They managed to, it kept the same atmosphere, the same stuff that made Metroid, but applied that to a different genre, a first-person shooter. It's not really a Star Fox game still. There's no Andross. There's no flying through space.
No.
You're wandering around on the ground with a magic staff, fighting turtles or dinosaurs or God knows what.
Yeah. There's a lot of fetch questing stuff in it, too.
Everyone loves those.
Nah, I
kind of like them. Like, if it makes sense, like, if the fetch quest makes sense and it's just a, like, it's a side thing, it's not a main objective.
Yeah.
Like, the first thing that comes to mind for me would be, like, Link's Awakening. You know, like, there's a huge trading fetch quest. Mm-hmm. and that Yoshi game doll. And you don't need it at all. You don't have to do it if you don't want to do it. It's just a side thing that if you take the time to do it and journey through the entire world, that it pays off for you at the end when you fight the final boss. And that's what a whole fetch quest is supposed to be, not a main objective. You know what I mean?
So, Hunter.
Yeah.
Would you say you like things on the side?
Yes.
Does your wife know this?
She's walking by.
We can ask her.
I like things on the side. Did you know that?
Mean men? Wow. She went for the man angle.
What did she say?
She said men. Like, I mean men.
Things. Nice! A man is your side thing. You can go now. Juicy.
No, you're fine. You can go now. It's okay. Please. Leave. All right.
No, yes, Samantha, that was perfect. That was the correct answer.
No.
Get out of the room so Hunter can enjoy his
side
thing.
The reason I asked that, though, like if it still was Dinosaur Planet, would it have been?
I think it would have been remembered a little more fondly.
I agree.
Because
it did get good reviews.
Did it?
But
Yeah, IGN 9 out of 10, GameSpot 8.3, Game Informer 8.75.
It is funny, because the game I was originally going to pick, I went back and noticed it actually was really well reviewed back then, it just hasn't aged as well, because I almost picked Mortal Kombat 4, which was the first 3D Mortal Kombat, which I remember being terrible. Like, me and my friend were like, ugh. But like, at the time, people actually liked it.
Man.
I'll give you this. Mortal Kombat Special Forces does look horrible. I'm basing that purely on the camera.
Oh, it's awful. Like, who would make an overhead beat 'em up? Like, why would you do that?
That's pretty, yeah.
Why? There's, especially in that era, like, I understand, like, oh, it's the 8-bit era. We're trying things. But, like, you see the 62-bit era, never succeed with it, never go near it ever again. Like, who thinks, let's revitalize a genre that is now obsolete? Yeah. It'd be like going up to a PS2 developer and saying, you know what the next entry in our franchise needs? ASCII art. Like ASCII character art.
Oh, come on.
Let's
do some background first on Special Forces. Because
Do it.
Well, Midway was trying to create something different, except for a one-on-one beat-em-up game. They wanted to branch out a little bit into adventure games. They created the Sub-Zero cannon. Mythologies, which, other than the terrible acting in the game's cutscenes, it was actually a pretty impressive game.
Very intriguing little gem there.
You know, and I think it did fairly well for the most part. And they thought, you know, well, let's take this to another step. And they went in the wrong direction. So it wasn't technically like the first. It wasn't a mistake.
Yeah. I'll give you this. It's only with the blessing of hindsight that I would say it's a mistake. I think at the time, sure, it probably made a little more sense what they were going for, but.
Well, I think Mythologies gave them a false sense of security.
Yeah, I think so, because it plays like an awful version of Metal Gear. Like, it really tries for that vibe. Like, you spend half the time receiving communications and, like, acting like you're so cool. Special Forces, more like stupid forces.
Weird. Now, in the sense of my game, Contra Legacy of War, they're coming off the back of Contra 3 Alien Wars for the Super NES.
Excellent game.
You want to talk about a falling from grace. This game, so there's two things about this game. Sadly, I own this game. I've played it. I'm very upset with it. But the two things that really upset me about the game. One, you have the ability to pick different players. Sounds great, right? Except for the fact that they don't have any different abilities. They are exactly the same character, with the exception of they get two different special weapons. So everybody starts off with a machine gun and a flamethrower, but every character can pick a different set of weapons, and no two are alike. So you can't get the spread gun when you want the spread gun, unless if you pick the character with the spread gun.
Really?
Like, you can't get the laser without the character. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense why they would play that way. I guess the only thing I can think of is the developer thought, well, maybe we'll just, we can do it this way so you're not fighting over power-ups. You're not fighting over one particular weapon. But if people are fighting over one particular weapon, that's because the weapon's really good.
Yeah.
And everybody wants it. Like, that's not a bad thing. That's kind of a good thing. You should make all of your weapons that way. The other really upsetting thing is the music. Like, if you take a chance to listen to the in-game music,
it's awful.
And this was the time of CD quality music, when CD quality actually meant something. And it sounds like they sound like it's MIDI orchestrated crap. Like, it, they try to remaster the original Contra tunes, and they are nowhere near the same movements or even in the same galaxy of what the song originally was. Like, it's so
not even
far out
on
there.
The same dino planet.
Like, I can nitpick about, you know, like, the jump isn't the same. You don't do the somersault anymore. You just jump up. You've got enemies fighting at you everywhere. So, like, it becomes a bullet hell game, but it's a isometric kind of crappy 3D run and gun, which doesn't work in a bullet hell game, especially with very low polygon count. I don't know, man. Like, it's just so bad. So bad.
You know what's funny, though? Appaloosa made a second Contra game, See the Contra Adventure, the next year.
It's even worse.
Amazing what kind of just handed.
Why would you let them? The only time I can think of is, like, maybe Konami made a contract with them. It's like, we'll give you two titles of Contra. And the first one was crap, and it was like, okay, well, we could break contract with them, but we're going to be paying out the nose for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
I feel a lot of games in the N64 PlayStation era just
totally,
they were given this 3D hardware, and instead of, like, taking a step back and going, do we need this?
Oh, yeah.
They were
just, I
think, like, yeah, 3D, we'll just, everyone loves Jax, right?
All three of us could have picked the first three-dimensional game from any franchise.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Earthworm Jim 3D. I would have brought it had I not brought it already on a previous episode.
Gross.
That game is not nearly as good as Earthworm Jim 2.
It's not.
There's some,
I spent $35
on
that
game. Translated well. Like, yeah. Mario 64 is notable for being a great transition.
Legend of Zelda did pretty well.
It did okay.
Yeah. But just,
I don't know. Sonic Adventure, I thought, was pretty good.
Yeah.
For the Dreamcast.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
What's wrong with the Dreamcast?
Old failed console joke. Yeah. The most disappointing thing with Mortal Kombat Special Forces
is that it carries the Mortal Kombat name?
It's their choice of Jax, because of all the Mortal Kombat characters.
Yeah.
He's just so boring.
Yeah, nobody wants to play as,
like,
an American guy.
It's either him, or you could have just put Johnny Cage in the thing, and it's not like a Scorpion, or it's like, oh, good, I pull off my mask, and there's a flaming skull, and I shoot darts, rope darts, or Sub-Zero freezes people, or Raiden is a thunder god. It's Jax. He's got metal arms, and punches people.
I could pull the racism card now, but instead I'll say, I mean, I know what they were going for.
Why?
If you were going for, why the racism card? I mean, come on.
Yeah, why would you, just because he's black? That's the really?
Yeah, Jason's totally racist.
Not because he's a poorly written character that when you put
he's
a bunch of fighters in a stage selection and you ask somebody to pick a character they find the coolest, they're going to go for the ninja or the God of Thunder every time, not some douchebag.
I can be a ninja, I can be a robot, a reptile
with a shirt
guy,
off. Come on.
Right, but Hunter, you already said
Ice Guy.
And I would agree that they were trying to expand the breadth of their world. And I would argue, this is key, broaden their audience as well. So with mythologies, you have the fantastical elements. But if you're going to ground the Mortal Kombat name into a little bit more of reality, which, yes, okay, that may have been silly. But if you were going to, like, who would you pick as your protagonist? Jax is the natural choice as a
he's the most
special forces
choice.
Agent. Well, maybe they needed a boring choice, Jason, let's be honest. But, like, Liu Kang is not going to sneak around, like, using a pistol and stuff.
Yeah, but why Mortal Kombat?
No, nobody would.
Why bother?
That's a legit question there. Why? I don't.
Like, I'm buying a Mortal Kombat game because I want it to be this over-the-top, crazy characters killing each other.
See, what I don't understand is, like, even if they wanted to make a beat-em-up, like, do something like a Streets of Rage-style game. That might be interesting, even, I don't know, but the over...
See, even with Sub-Zero Mythologies, like, it was a 3D game, but it still ran on a 2D plane. You know, like, they stuck with the side-scrolling 2.5D, I guess that's one of... put a title to it.
There was even some kind of precision jumping in there.
Yeah, like that's platforming and there's puzzles and it's fun, like unleashing new abilities and stuff. Like I feel like that series was a trial into what they did with like Deadly Alliance, where they made like the story mode. But the neat thing about that story mode was is that you were playing as a character that never existed in the realm of Mortal Kombat before. And I think that's one of the reasons why it was so popular, because I'm playing as somebody that isn't part of the regular game.
That's okay. That's also true. Because there's that classic debate is, would you rather play with the familiar or with the new? And sometimes, I mean, who wants to... Yeah. I hear you.
The Mortal Kombat franchise did eventually go into these kind of beat-em-ups with, you know, the normal characters. Like, if you go play Mortal Kombat, Shaolin Monks... It's you're running around and beating up random enemies. But you get to play as Sub-Zero or whatever.
Right. Yeah, I think Shaolin Monks was kind of in the same tier as the other two. I could be wrong.
No.
At least you got to play as Sub-Zero.
So we agree that my game's the worst, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to agree that Mortal Kombat 1's the worst. Like, Contra looks bad, but it looks better than the Mortal Kombat game.
Yep. Suckers.
Right, but I mean, coming from what Contra was that, come on.
It might be the farthest drop, if that's what you're going for, but I think mine's up there. I think mine's up there. A good Mortal Kombat game is pretty good.
Oh, I think any good game is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think... yeah, okay.
Really?
I'm just glad they haven't made any more Contras like this.
Or any Star
Yeah, they
Fox
all went
Adventures.
2D after that.
Yeah.
Like, the DS ones are a lot of fun. The Game Boy Advance game was a lot of fun. Contra 4, I think it was called. I don't know. Like, they went 2D, and they're all really good. Because that's the formula that Contra works in.
Yep.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, and my franchise eventually found its way back to its roots on the new Mortal Kombat games. I mean, see the trailer for the next one that's going to come out? Brutal. Yep. Dang.
Crazy.
Actually, I think Star Fox did too, because I mean the next was it, I think it was Star Fox Assault that came out for the GameCube. Like that was
I'd like to play it
Star Fox 64-esque.
It wasn't that good. Did you play Assault?
No.
It wasn't that good.
Yeah, because there's more like ship management stuff, right?
I just
what am I looking for?
It felt like a step back from Star Fox 64 in a way.
I don't know, man, because that game is pretty bare bones. Like, I don't know how you could step back
from
that.
That's the thing. It seemed even more bare bones somehow.
Wow.
That's what I remember playing anyway. The multiplayer wasn't as good either. It was just...
Am I the only one that couldn't stand the multiplayer in Star Fox 64? Like, I thought it was terrible.
Oh, my friends all hated it.
Yeah, I can't.
I mean, the arenas were way too big. You're constantly just doing backflips. That's terrible.
Yep. Oh, right. There was on-foot portions during Star Fox Assault. That's what I hated the most.
Nobody wants that in your Star Fox game.
So you'd land, and then you'd have to run around shooting things. It's like, no, I just want to be in my ship. I just want to shoot things. Damn it, Nintendo.
Hunter!
What's your final argument for the piece of crap you brought this week that dares to bear the Contra name?
My final argument for Contra Legacy of War for the Sony PlayStation is the simple fact that Konami made an awful choice handing off one of their prized franchises to a different developer, and not only allowing them to make two different games, but allowing them to come off the absolute stead that was Alien Wars for the Super NES to create such an awful experience in the Contra series.
5 seconds.
Okay, that was pretty good. Jason, what is your final argument for a game we felt very little need to actually discuss in depth because no one wants to talk about Star Fox Adventures?
Because it was good.
Yeah. Star Fox Adventures was not a proper Star Fox game. It somewhat killed the franchise, and it pretty much killed Rare and proved that Rare was a kind of a one-trick pony.
We'll debate that another time. I'm looking forward to the next Star Fox game. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
They haven't even announced it yet.
There was a teaser thing where he
he's like,
it?
We're doing it.
Did you see this?
No, yeah, I saw it, but that wasn't an announcement to me.
It's a tease. I admit that. It may not be anything.
Given the Wii U's performance, it could be on the next Nintendo system.
That's also true. Wii true.
And isn't Nintendo coming out with a new console?
They've hinted at some hybrid. I'm not up on my whatever's gaming.
What?
I
don't do video games. Why am I even here?
I have no interest in this subject matter. Why do I keep showing up?
So my game, you should vote for my game because it's clearly the worst of the three, and you can tell immediately if you put in the name of our games into YouTube. Go ahead and try it. Mortal Kombat Special Forces, whatever the crap it's called. You will know it is bad. That's our showdown. Yeah, that was pretty fun. Good to have the gang back together. Shame we can't do it for 2 weeks in a row, but whatever.
Yeah.
So, I should give some shout-outs to the live stream commenters, because we appreciate them keeping up a conversation as we keep up a conversation. It's a lot of fun. Just a reminder to everybody, we broadcast Thursday evenings, 7:30 p.m. Central. We tweet the link from One More Castle on Twitter at @1morecastle. So, shout-outs to Captain Knucklehead, Valerie Minnick, Walter Williams, Chronislinger, ooh, Colin Moffat. Might be a new guy. Hey, Colin. I'm not intimidating you right now. Joshua Tiberius. Good to see your sexy face. Walter Williams, Paul Sharp. Apparently Eric Hunter was here tonight as well. So, cool. Great. Hunter, any shout-outs? Plugs, promotions, shampoo recommendations.
You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is imericm.com. I also do another podcast with the one and only Mr. Tom Hall, who also is featured on One More Castle, called Breaking Bits. That is a twice monthly podcast. We talk about all things video games. Shout out goes Indie Juice. You can follow Indie Juice at Indie Juice on Twitter. Indie Juice is a gaming blog dedicated to writing about only the juiciest topics in the gaming world. Apparently, I'm following them. So.
Good that you know that.
I don't think they update as much as they should, especially with a name like Indie Juice.
Yeah, I agree. That's a pretty solid name.
Yeah.
Jason, any shout-outs, self-promos, disease prevention tips?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb, or go to my website, jasonlamb.org. And I'll give a shout-out to Duke Nukem.
Duke Nukem, eh?
Caribbean.
Yeah, because life's a beach.
Good. Life is a beach.
And then you fly.
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
Just a couple quick reminders. If you want to email us, like if you want to have your question answered on the podcast, you can email us podcast@onemorecastle.com. We're also looking for music to feature. So, you know, nerdcore, chiptune, whatever geek-friendly, tastic music you can find out there. Tell your friends about us. We usually do a free download on the webpage. It's a win-win for everybody. Good music, good times, spread the word. So, let me know if you know someone. You know? Last but not least, dear audience, remember, are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. Huh. See you next week!